Hebrews chapter 4. I'd like to, looking at the, it's not the last quality, but it is the last quality of the Word of God we're going to look at in this part of our discipleship series. And so I don't know where we'll go next. I've got a few other things I want to preach on and share, and we've been going strong and consistent with these discipleship messages, and I hope they've been a blessing, building a framework of where I believe over the coming years, months, and years we'll go as a whole. I've got some new thoughts and new ideas for down the road, and I've enjoyed looking into these texts. We're looking in our last few messages thinking about why I read the Word, why I read the Word. And so we talked about how the Word, it brings growth in our lives, how it gives direction in our lives. It helps us resist temptation. And tonight in Hebrews 4, verse 12, we're going to look and see how the Bible has the power to change. How the Bible has the power to change. So Hebrews 4, let's look together in verse number 12. Love this verse. We've referenced it throughout this series. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There's a lot in that verse right there. You can, I even just reading that verse, kind of thought of it even this way, how the word touches, what you see there is piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. So this word, it will pierce you spiritually. And of the joints and marrow, it can pierce you physically. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It pierces you so deep, those things you tried to hide inside. The things that you believe only you know. The word can touch those things. What an amazing and powerful thing. There's nothing else in this world that can touch like the word. And through the help of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, how it does touch. Each time, as we've said, as we break open this bread of life, a song I think of, I referenced recently, and I need to just get the words because I forget the words. But a verse in that song goes, "If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, then there's something wrong in you." And how true it is that this word, we come to it and, "Oh, well, I don't like this." And you hear this terminology called textual criticism in the world of scholarly studies of the Bible, textual criticism. And that means everything from how people perceive the word to be translated into the English language or various languages, all the way down to the conversations around the context of God's word. And while maybe we feel that it means or it says different things, I'm thankful that the word, it gives us that dividing asunder the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And that word, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm thankful for discernment tonight. I'm thankful that I can be certain of what the word says through a thing called discernment. I'm thankful that my spirit bears witness and I'm unified with the Holy Ghost of God. And when I open this word, that I can pray and I can seek for discernment of what it's saying. I can seek to, "Lord, show me the context. Show me what you mean. Show me what your intentions were when you penned this through the writer of Hebrews, through Moses, whoever it was that you used to pen your word. God, give me discernment to know what this word means." Now, we know and we've seen examples of someone who does not utilize or use discernment when studying the Word of God. We see that, and we've talked about it. I preached on it pretty early coming to Mountain View. Snake handling, right? They read about those instances in the Bible, and because of a lack of discernment, because they don't rightly divide this word of truth, Because that they don't seek, and I believe they're not seeking that it could divide them. They make a decision based off of just, well, that's what it says. The Bible is written in a literal and a spiritual sense. There are some things that are literally exactly what they mean. There are some things, their application is spiritual. And so Paul taking up a snake, that's a spiritual lesson to us today of something he literally did. And so we know and we understand in our day that God's given me common sense not to go pick up a snake. We were down in Florida, and I mean, they got everything down there, don't they? I mean, they got it all. And we don't realize how blessed we are with critters here. We're blessed. They got it all down there. And we go down there, and we're enjoying some beautiful weather, and we're at a this place that has a little zoo on the inside of it, and I've sent some of you the picture. It's a water moccasin. I'd say that rascal is about 5 foot long. I mean, the biggest one I'd ever seen. Curled up. I mean, there was rattlesnakes on both sides, and I mean, I've always thought the rattlesnakes was the meanest looking snake I've ever seen. That cottonmouth, I'm telling you, I've told people the story. Me and my brother, we're standing up close, and we can't help but look, right? It's like a train wreck. You can't help but look. And you don't want to be in it, but you can't help but look. And so we're standing there, and that snake's laying there curled up 3 or 4 times. I mean, just body looks like it was about 1 foot wide. I mean, you know how it is. Huge. And that joker starts sticking his head up, and his whole body starts moving. And I mean, it's just like the devil incarnate. That thing's head starts moving toward us. I look over, my brother's 10 foot behind me. He'd have left me. There is enough common sense in my simple mind to know that if I see that thing laying out there in the woods, I'm not going to capture it and bring it to church with me. Amen? God gave me the common sense. And I'm thankful first for the word that I have in this word. I have a word written, communication written to me that I can know God's intentions, desires, his means, what he wants for me, what he desires for me, and that I have a Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me that I can seek the Holy Ghost and he will direct me and guide me to what he means in his word. Not to go do something so foolish as to pick up a snake just because I took something too literally. Now, no doubt it was a miracle in its day and its time. And there are situations and circumstances you may end up, a miracle take place. I mean, in God's hand, he's a sovereign God. He's in control. Something happens, he can heal from the most terrible circumstances and terrible situations, and he does that. But I'm thankful I have discernment. Another thing, we've talked about it, eternal security. There's some, they believe we can lose our salvation. And I'm compelled by what I've discerned, I believe from the Holy Spirit of God, what we're taught in Scripture, that I'm secure in my salvation, that I possess something that God's not going to take away. There's some that take things maybe too literal, and they believe that God has, in his election and his predestination of man, that he believes that there are certain people believe, and intelligent people believe, that there are some people that are destined to be born and God will save them. And some do not have that chance. And I do not believe that way. I believe that each and every man, boy, woman, girl, every person to ever walk upon the earth has an opportunity to hear the gospel and to respond. Now, God knows who will and who won't. God knows. But I believe everyone is offered an opportunity. I believe that's scripturally based. Where do you get there? It's discernment. It's discernment. You can't come to biblical and spiritual discernment without this word. Why? Because it's a sword. I mean, it rightly divides. It cuts through bone. It cuts through marrow. It's a weapon. Anyone would love to possess the power that this word has, except unfortunately many would want to use it for their own gain. But God's precious word, how powerful and how mighty it is. It cuts through spirit, it cuts through secrets, and it cuts through the body. What a blessing it is. The Bible changes things in your life. The word is God, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I'm saying about that today, and recently I've told you, we were recently able for Christmas. My mom sent myself, my dad, and my brother to go to a forge over Mars Hill, and we got to go forge an axe, and my dad forged an axe, and my brother a kitchen knife. And we go over there, and I go inside, and I see on the wall this huge two-handed sword, and it's about 6 foot tall. And I knew it because anybody remembers the movie Braveheart, William Wallace, the Scottish Claymore sword is a two-handed sword. And what they would do in the day, and I love this. Back in this day, William Wallace was reported to be 6'7" tall. Big old youngin. What they would do to measure your sword was they would measure it based off of your chin. And that would be where the blade or the beginning of the handle of the sword would end or would start. The blade would end and the handle would start. His sword roughly 6.5 foot long total. I'm going to tell you what, somebody shows up on the battlefield with a 6.5 foot long sword, you know they mean business. I mean, any man strong enough to carry that around the battlefield all day, he's there for one reason. And I'm thankful that I walked in that building, I saw this huge sword. I almost asked him if I could borrow it. Kind of know him a little bit, maybe next time. Because I'm telling you, I could stand here and I hold it like this and I'm like, I mean business. Somebody sees me with this, they know I mean business. And I walked in there and they have it hanging up on the wall. And I'm like, that's the first thing I saw, the first thing I said. What a sword. And you know, what a sword. We should step into the presence of this sword that we have and be in awe at how wonderful and how powerful a weapon that we have. You know what? When the devil sees this, he knows we mean business. You might be 4 foot tall, and you might carry a little hand-sized Bible. You might carry a little pocket-sized Bible, but it's a mighty sword. And when the devil sees it, I saw something recently. There's a necklace they have managed. I don't know who could verify it, but they have managed to print the entire Bible, they say, on a pendant on a necklace. I don't know who can verify it. It ain't going to be me. I went to the eye doctor this week. I guarantee you it ain't going to be me. But they've managed to print, they say, the entire Bible on this little pendant on a necklace. And when you can walk around and you can carry the entire Bible right there around your neck, you realize that word right there, even just the name of Jesus, has enough power that the devil sees this word and he shakes and shivers in his proverbial boots. He knows you mean business when you have the word. So that I'm convinced that when the Bible tells me that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that when it's quick and it's powerful, it's sharper and it piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, the joints of the marrow, a discerner of thoughts and the intents of heart, what I'm told in the Word of God is that this Word can touch anything and everything. There's nothing that it's limited by. And that when we're in its presence, we should realize what a mighty weapon we possess. And we ought to know and have victory over the devil, realizing that he looks upon us, and it may be printed on a pendant around our neck. It may be written on a t-shirt. It may be in a big thick Bible. It may be on a sign somewhere. But the Word of God is a powerful sword, and it means business. The Bible, it has powerful power to change. Such a wonderful and mighty and powerfully crafted weapon certainly has power to change. Like I said, just the presence of someone. Do you imagine standing on the other end of the battlefield with someone with 10 men, all him and all of his cousins? They got 6 foot long swords. Somebody means business here today. I'd say some might flee from the battle just because they look and know what a dangerous and powerful weapon someone has. You see, someone with a mighty sword, through that power of the weapon that they have, through this word, has the power to change. What does the word change? What will it divide? What will it pierce through? What will it cut? What will it discern? Well, first, it changes decisions. It changes decisions. We like, as we've talked about, even in thinking on Nehemiah, how we like to make plans and we like to, I want to do what Josh wants to do. I've got this list of how it should work out. I've got all these ideas. And then I'll go and I'll read my Bible and I'll seek the Lord and my decisions will change. My decisions will change. And when you spend time in the Word of God, you're building into yourself a discerner. You're welcoming a discerning word into your life to know right from wrong, to know when you've done wrong and when to make it right. Went through the bank today. It's confession time. We're not Catholic, but we're going to have confession here. Went through the bank today, and I got a little impatient with the gentleman helping me at the window. And I know why. I know why. And it's a terrible quality. I think I've spent enough time doing it that I know better than they do. Amen? Whatever you do, you're the best at it. Am I right? Mechanic? Driver? Helper? Homemaker? Whatever it is you do, you're the best at it. Am I right? And I have not found the switch to turn off some of my know-how, and I need to get over myself and do it. And I got a little frustrated because if I was his manager, he wouldn't do it that way. It's better at the bank I ran. We made a circle around that bank, get back in line, have to wait in line to apologize to him. But I've learned that when I welcome the discerning truth of the word into my life, that if I get back out on 25 and head this way, I can't come serve you like I need to serve you until I get things right. And I don't like to do it, but I know the further and further away I get away from that mistake, the more this sword is going to cut me into pieces. Now, I don't do it right every time. Today, I feel terrible. What if somebody were to walk in these doors? What does that make me look like in the community? What does that make me seem like to people? What kind of testimony for Christ is that? You spend time in the Word, you realize that you're welcoming the discernment of the Word into your life. And you can do something, boneheaded and foolheaded, and you know as soon as you do it, man, why did I do that? That was so wrong. I knew better than that. And the word just cuts you up. You ever see these guys do sushi? That's what I feel like today. I mean, just chop them up, flip them over, roll them out, put them on a plate, sell them. That's what I felt like. But thank the Lord that he uses this word to speak into my life and to touch me. And guess what? I've been around a lot of people, a lot of Christians. You're like, where's the discernment? I use the statement, cookie on one side, flip you, and cookie on the other. That kind of Christian. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I've been that kind of Christian. What kind of testimony is that? And I thank the Lord that this word, in just a second, it says here, the word is quick. The word is quick. It's fast acting. I got the acid reflux. And I go and I got off medication for it finally. And I got it again. It's drink water, and I've got it. They didn't have the Alka-Seltzer that I like. All I had was Pepsi down at Dollar General, Tuxedo, North Carolina. And I look on the label, and it says fast acting. It works in one tablet. Guess what? It don't. How do I know? Because I lay awake all night, have bad dreams and crazy dreams, wake up feeling bad every night. Because it doesn't do what it says. Guess what? This word says that it's quick. And not only in just the way and the method, how fast God can deal with you, the discerning quickness of the word, but someone that knows how to use a sword as a weapon, they're quick. It's decisive. The work that it does is instant and immediate. You can take a hand, an arm, a leg, or whatever off of somebody as quick and as powerful. If it's been honed, and it's been worked and it's been forged and it's been sharpened, if the work that needed to be done to that sword has been done, guess what? It does what it intends to do. And so today I feel like a dirt bag and I hadn't even pulled out of the drive-through line. I'm thinking, my goodness, I'm going to have to get somebody else to speak tonight, and I'm not going to be able to show my face around these church people. But guess what? I got around there. I got things right, and God forgave me. And I hope maybe that could be a testimony to somebody. I hope that maybe that could help somebody, and I know that helps me. And it's important that my family can see some discernment in my life. It's important that we can be honest, that we make mistakes, and that other people can see some discernment in our lives. But guess what? This word, it worked quick. It was fast acting. But also the work that it intended to do, all my pride and all my anger and all my frustration, when the sword came through and swept through me, it didn't have to come through again. It divided and it cut me up the first time it swept through. That's what's so amazing about this word. You see this forged, I'm just talking about swords tonight, I'm sorry. Anybody ever watched Forged in Fire? They make these swords. And I mean, they've got a big ham hock hanging up there. And I mean, they take a sword and they cut that thing in half. That's how you know that it's done its intended job. It doesn't have to cut through twice. They cut through a foot worth of meat in one swoop. And that's how the word, it will work in your life exactly that way. It's quick in the fact it's fast acting. It's also quick in that it does what it's intended to do the first time. You may run from it for 6 months or a year or 3 months or a day, but it's done its work. As soon as you feel conviction about something, this word is spoken into your life, and it's done its job. So it changes our decisions. There was a time in my life where I wouldn't go back and say sorry for nothing. I'd have went back and argued some more. There's been times in my life where I'm just angry and confrontational and start stuff and I've just been nasty to people about things and never should have been. But when this word is speaking into your life, your decisions change. The next thing is that your desires change. We have these hopes and these dreams for things in life, and this quick and powerful and piercing word, it will cut those desires down. You want something so bad, we got in the car today, and man, praise the Lord, we finally have been delivered from this car fiasco we've had. I told you about it. Y'all, I'm sorry for all the stories, but I think it is part of discipleship is just life. We had the car stuff, the car fiascos, and finally got it squared away. Drove a while, and everything's going good, and me and Shelby, we got in the car. We're driving, we got the kids. Just like, thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this car. Your desires change in life, don't they? You learn to be thankful, something that other people don't want. Hey, it ain't new. It ain't perfect. It's cost me a lot of money. It's been a burr in our saddle at times, but learning to be thankful. Lord, I wanted this. I had in my mind, this is really what I wanted. Nice big blue GMC pickup truck. Amen? You got whatever it is you want. That's what I wanted. I'd love to have a nice new blue GMC 2500. Guess what? I got a 2012 Buick LaCrosse. Cost me $2,800 in the first 2 weeks I ever owned it. But guess what? I've learned to be thankful. Get my family in there. We're comfortable. It's reliable so far. Our desires change, don't they? And we learn to be content and thankful for what God has blessed us with. And I'm not trying to make you think I'm anything. But today we're just like, man, thank the Lord. Desires change. Guess what? If you're not letting this word speak into your life, you won't be content with anything. And the things that you think you want, when you get them, they won't mean a thing to you. They're not enough. I like sports. You see these people. to go win $1 million in one day, whatever it is. I think that American society has made sports into religion so strong. I mean, we would pay somebody $1 million if they could throw a piece of trash in a trash can from a certain distance. I mean, we have turned sports into, it's an obsession. And I love it. But it's an obsession. It's religion in our society. We obsess over these things. And you see this, and they're not happy. You see somebody go make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Saw a documentary a few years ago, the golfer Tiger Woods. Somebody look at him. I remember being a kid, man, he was the thing. He was the thing. Anybody remember that? That was like one of the last cultural icons in society. We forgot pop culture today. He was pop culture. Everybody wanted a piece. And you hear his story, and you see the background, and you see all the money that he's made, and all the things he's achieved, and all this stuff you see on ESPN. They don't tell you all the turmoil, all the terrible things that's went on. And you just find somebody that's just not happy. It's so sad, because that's in the church, in the community, in our state, in our nation, this desire to get something and get a hold of something. If I can just get this, if I can just get there. And it's different for everyone, because we all have different needs. You've got a desire. Man, I'd like to get this. Man, if I could just make this much money, I could take care of my family. There's some people with pure desires, and you give them X amount of dollars, and they can pay they can survive, they can pay their bills, they're as content and happy as a lark. There's some people, well, I want that, but really, if I could get this much money, I need this much money. You give it to them. We've hired people in the banking world, coming in making twice what I was making starting in the banking world. Oh, I just want to learn. I just want to grow. 3 months later, they're going to a different bank. They come just to get some experience to go get a job somewhere else, make some more money. What was it? Because the desires, it's just a stepping stone. It's just a ladder. We need to learn to be content with what God gives us and what God blesses us with. And I'm preaching to myself. I talk about going to my grandparents. I can take you there right now. And my little grandmother, the same couch that my great-grandfather had, there in their living room, splitting and breaking, but it still sits. Just as content as could be. Same house. They bought a used house. Never forget grandparents telling me about this. They bought a used house in 1963. When they got married, they had it moved, put it on a foundation. They've lived it ever since. And I can't tell you the times, I can guarantee you, never heard, man, I wish we had this, wish we had that. That's a testimony to me. Because, man, I was right out of the gate. All right, I'm grown, I'm working, I got to have this, I got to have that, I got to have this house, got to have this dog, got to have this truck, got to have this boat. I had all kinds of dreams. I've learned over time that those desires will change. But the only way I have seen myself be content is through this word. My desires, your desires change. That's all. That's how it works. But the only way I've been able to be content with anything is this word. When I'm letting this word divide me and see, you see, it's the sword is not also. It's not only just a cutting implement; it's a piercing implement. It pierces. And when I let this word, just getting in this word and praying that God can use it in your life. It's pretty simple. Take this word and apply it to me, Lord. And when it pierces me, it reaches inside of me. Look at what it says in the last part of that verse. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We get smart and think we hide things from God, am I right? I mean, we think we've got it hid somewhere. We've got it compartmentalized and packed away. But He knows everything in our heart. He knows everything in our mind. He knows everything in our future. He knows everything. And although He knows everything, it's up to us to say, Lord, let this word discern in me. Lord, you show me. Lord, help me be content with what you've given. Help me be content with what you've blessed. And I go into a home of someone, it speaks to my heart so much, especially our elderly folks that live such testimonies for Christ. I'm 28 years old, but I know how to work a rotary telephone. I'm one in a million. I was preaching about dial-up internet on Sunday, and some of these teenagers were like, what? That rotary telephone, AT&T guy broke it. Now, my mom was mad that day. I want to be that way. Just content. Just content. We was in Charleston, South Carolina. We was down there. I know the Hammetts might enjoy that low country talk. We was down there, and we was in this beautiful graveyard. St. John's Church, I believe, is the name of the church. Big old, huge oak tree. I mean, just picturesque, perfect. There's a gravestone there. And what it read on this gravestone from the 1800s, it said, satisfied. And my daddy, I've told you this, my daddy told me right there, he said, I want that on my grave. And he's one of them people. He's just satisfied. He's just content. I want to be that way. Well, guess what? This dividing word, this discerning word, this sharp word, this piercing word, it can touch me and it will change my desires. But I have to let it. Like I said, things change. I realized that because I got to the point. I rode with a friend. His truck's as loud. I mean, it sounds like the back stretch of Bristol. And I was like, man, I'd put a muffler on this thing. And I realized my desires are starting to change. Things change, don't they? Desires change. Wants change. But man, how much more they will change. Not only just the desires, but being able to be content when you let this word touch your life. The last thought of what the word changes is it changes your decisions, your desires, and your destinations. I was thinking about that this week. I was ready to go move myself to Florence, Darlington, South Carolina to work at a Caterpillar dealership when I was 18 years old. And thank the Lord I did. Could you imagine being under a D9 dozer in Florence, South Carolina in August? No way. I'd be skinny. When I was 18 years old, I would have guaranteed you that I was going to be sitting down there, living down there, working as a diesel mechanic. But my destinations have changed. I come two and three times a week to Tuxedo, North Carolina, to minister to a congregation I love. My destinations have changed. When you let the word speak into your life, and your decisions and your desires begin to align with what the word says, your destination starts changing. And you'll be places. I think about this all the time. I've gotten to know you and I've gotten to meet you. The only people I knew at this church was Jeremy and Lisa. I hadn't probably seen Scotty and Judy since they got married, I'd say. Or Dawson, I think Dawson's baby shower down here at the park, I believe it was. I don't even hardly remember that. I didn't know a single one of you. But I thank the Lord every day that I've got to. My destinations have changed. Where I would have never have thought that this is where what I'd be doing and where I'd be doing. But man, how this word changes those decisions around, changes those desires around. And guess what? You can start going places when you get those things right. And where you go is where God wants you. And I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. One day, I might need some fingers and toes. I want to count up how many churches I passed coming down to Mountain View. There's no other place I'd rather be. Because guess what? Decisions change. Desires change. And your destinations change. And it's all from this quick and powerful and sharp word. Cut you up, cut you down. But guess what? He don't leave you. That sushi man, he chops it up and he leaves it like it is. Am I right? He puts sauce on top of it. I love that stuff. But I thank the Lord that he puts me back together. He don't leave me cut up. He cuts off what I don't need and he puts me back together. He gets out that piercing. I think about that so much. We don't really understand the power of a sword. These people in this day, they knew about it. We don't. We're sanitized from that. But the piercing power of a weapon, how it drives through the body. Now, that intention of a sword is to kill, but this sword is to heal. When he pierces through me, he's getting the junk out. He's purifying me. He's changing me. And I thank the Lord, not only does it change my destinations on the earth, but it changes my destination on the other side. I was headed for hell, but thank the Lord that my destination changed for eternity.